That's it. So in a nutshell, we do work in a village which is about 90 kilometers away from Kampala, and I have seen lives changed. I think since you've been, we have had over 3,000 kids going through the school. And some of the kids maybe who were there when you came, some of them, they are teachers now in the school. Blessing the community and changing the community, we give glory to God. My name is Stephen Musisi, for those of you who don't know me. And Musisi means earthquake in my tribe. So if you find it hard to call me Musisi, you can call me earthquake. It's the same. Actually, if you call me earthquake, I will feel much better. Because then I don't have to explain to everybody that my name means earthquake. Everybody will tell and will know. But that's my tribal name. That's what they gave me. Bringing greetings from my wife, my children, and my children. Why children and children? Girls have seen God has blessed me with four biological children, 16 adopted children, and hundreds of kids who call me dad when I have no legal attachment, but anyway, they call me dad. And I oversee over 30 churches across the country, and we are busy working for God. Maybe it's time, Tina, you came back and Liz. It has been a long time. And everybody who wants to come and join us, it will be great to see you in Africa one day. The message I'm going to be talking about today is from the book of John, chapter 5. Are we having scriptures on the screen? No?
Yeah.
You can do that?
John 5.
It's nice to see John's parents. I think I last saw you 17 years ago when I was last here. It's nice to see you again. Slums. No, they are worse, but some of them they're Muslims, but they are from the slums. Some of them they're from Muslim families. Yeah, we reach out regardless of religion or whatever. No, not as yet. Because what we are doing, it is benefiting the community, and it's benefiting the children as well. Most of the kids you see there, they've been rebellious. We just pick them from the street. And some of them now have been able to restore them to their parents. So parents will be happy to see a change in their lives. We use sport because sport, to succeed, you need discipline to a certain degree. So this is what we use, that if you want to succeed, you have to be disciplined. You can have a talent, you can be very good, but if you're not disciplined, you're not going to anywhere. And then we try to apply that in every other area of their lives. That discipline starts from home. Disciplines, you know, you have to have discipline at school. So actually we have come to a point now when we hear any bad report, you are not on the team. Now, to many, not to be on the team, it's not good. So through sport, and through discipline, emphasizing discipline, because as men of the demo I said, who never had a chance to go to school, now they are back to school. Not because you are paying the tuition. Yes, we pay for books, we pay for other things, but they have seen the benefit of being given a gift by God. And they are going to school not because you are paying for them, but they are going to school because of their given talent. Now they know that they can get more than education through that talent. That's what we try to motivate them with. And it's working for us. So we have no problem with the parents. They enjoy. Actually, many of them, they come to see their children playing football. And I think one testimony I can give about this, just before we started church in the slums, about 4 months ago, we are using the same house with so many activities. So one of the village chief came to me and said, Pastor Steve, you are doing a great job in the community, but this place is too small for you. And I said, well, I know it's too small for me, but we're believing for bigger space. Now this is a village chief, but is he also a priest in the traditional religion? He said, we're on the different sides in terms of belief, but because your ministry is doing something good in the community, I'm giving you a piece of land. So now we are in the process of clearing the land. We are believing God for a tent, and we get the church from the house to this piece of land. And we've got people from the community coming with food, whatever. So we haven't had any problem because people, they are seeing lives changed. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is tired. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Father, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that it will minister to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem to attend a feast. It might have been the feast of the Passover or any other feast, but he happened to be in Jerusalem to attend a certain feast. And on his way to the feast, he passed by a sheep. You carry sheep? Sheep. Sheep. Yeah? Sheep. Bah, okay. These two words confusing me. The one on the water and this one. So, what's the difference? Sheep and a? Sheep. I will not say it. So maybe I will say bar. So near the bar gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. 3. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie. And among these disabled people, there was the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And there was one man among the sick people who had been there for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying down, and he knew that he had been in this condition of sickness for that long, he asked him, do you want to get well? When Jesus saw this man who had been in this place for this long, he asked him, do you want to get well? He
we knew he had been displaced for a long time. I don't know how he got to know, because even the Bible doesn't say how he got to know. Maybe his disciples had done some advance checks and came back with some info that is a man who is at the pool who has been there for a long time. Or maybe Jesus, being a son of God, maybe he had an extra gifting which revealed to him that this man had been at this place for a long time. Somehow he knew the condition and the situation of this man. And it was also obvious that this man was sick, because the Bible says he was paralyzed. And also everybody knew that anybody found in that place, he was either there to attend to a sick or he was sick himself. This place was known to everybody. That anybody who was there was either sick or an attendant to the sick. So when, if Jesus knew that this man had been there for a long time, if it was obvious that this man was sick, then why ask this man if he wants to get well? I grew up in the slums. I know a little bit about drugs. When you take drugs, you can be in Uganda when you're on the high and think you're in America. It messes up your mind. You say things sometimes you shouldn't be saying, or you see, or presumably see, things you shouldn't be, any other person around is not seeing. So this man Jesus found me in the slums then, and that's this question. I would have thought that this man is on the high. He's taking something. Why ask somebody who is obviously sick? Anybody can see if he wants to get healed. Is that a normal question? Somebody who is obviously hungry. Well, the English, I think, would ask. But in Africa, we would not do that. Yeah, I think here you can ask. Do you want to get well? You are the healer. You've got the power to heal. Oh, sorry. How did it turn the other side? Did I turn it? Oh, sorry. It's cracked. Has seen so many days. Do you want to get healed? Some sicknesses are easily hidden. But this man's sickness was obvious. So Jesus the healer, Jesus the compassionate, should have gone on, you know, and just healed the guy. Why? Anybody with an answer? Why ask? Can somebody help me? You want to see if he had faith? That's an answer. But that's true. That's very true.
pattern. He was used a situation. Yeah, but the man was there to get healed. 38 years. He's there. He was in the place, you know. You know, somebody going to the hospital, definitely he wants to be healed. Isn't it? He was in the right place. Well, it's a tricky thing. But he asked him this question. And when you think that Jesus is mad, then wait to hear the answer of this man. What does he say in verse 7? Sir, the invalid replied. I mean, the man had even lost his identity, his name. By the virtue of his sickness, he was referred to as an invalid. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is tired. Well, it was known that at a certain time, an angel used to come and stirred up this water, and whosoever came in first received his or her healing. Then a man is answering, sir, when such a time comes, when the angel stirs up the water, I have no one to drop me in the water first. Now, everybody who was there was sick or attend to the sick. So all they go was to be in the water first. Are they going to care about you when the priority is to be in the water first? Huh? No. You're not going to do that. I think even Sisi, if he was there, he would have jumped in first and thought about you next. I'm sorry, but I'm here to be healed. So let me go in first. When I'm healed, then I'll think about you. But many times when somebody is healed, just go away to praise the Lord. So he may not remember about you. So you may think that the man being asked a question, if you want to be healed, he will say yes. Huh? What answer is he giving? A different answer. Was it the right answer to the question? Huh? It is not. Musisi, you want to get healed? Yes. Musisi, you want food? Yes. Musisi, you want a drink? Yes. But then I get confused when I'm here. Because when I say, yes, I want a drink, then what drink? Then hot or cold? Aye. More water, less water. In Africa, drink, drink. Water, bye-bye. Do you want to get healed? The obvious answer should have been yes. But this man exposes his state of mind.
Exactly.
That yes, I want to get healed. If somebody gives me push. And for 38 years, probably this man was waiting for somebody to give him a push. Forgetting that everybody who was there for a cause. And one cause, to get a healing. Amen? I would be healed. I would have that job.
I will get that house. I will be married. Yes. This man might have had faith, but might have had faith the wrong way, or the wrong people. Amen. How many of us are like this man? We have faith, but not in God. We have faith, but not in the Creator. We have faith. Yes, I'll be healed if that doctor says so and so. Don't get me wrong. I thank God for the instruments God uses. But God is the provider. But many times our focus is not on the healer. It is on the vessels God uses to heal. Our focus is not on the provider, but on the instruments God uses to provide. And if it doesn't work out as it should work out according to the instruments, our faith is gone. Are we still together? Amen. Forgive me, I'm trying to restrain myself saying amen, amen, amen. In Africa, I'll be saying that more and more. And by now, maybe many of them will be lifting their chairs. I preach it, brother. Go on, go on. I'll be in that rhythm, but I'm trying to think the conventry way. If there's someone to push me in the pool, I'll be healed. Unfortunately, there was no one to do that for him. And for 38 years, actually he goes on to say that whenever I try, somebody has gone in before me. Then the master talks to him. There might have been a conversation. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say. But Jesus might have seen something in this man. He tells them, yes, I've heard all your words. Yes, no one is there to drop in the pool. Now it's not about others. Now it's about you and me. Stand up. Pick up your bed and walk. Now forget about your neighbor. Now forget about what the doctor said. Now forget about the stock market say. Stand up, pick up your bed and walk. The man had a choice to stand up or not stand up. But I thank God he did. And the Bible says immediately something has been waiting for God for to happen. 38 years, it happened instantly. Healing happened. Stand up. Why did he tell him to walk? Should have told him to walk. He didn't. God is not going to tell you something you can't do. But when he tells you something, he knows you can do something, and he knows that in his word is power to complete that transaction. He didn't tell him to walk, but the man walked later. He told him to stand up. Now I don't think that he just stood up straight. He might have struggled to stand up. He might have made an effort to go up. But in doing so, God's power met him. Sometimes we need to make that step of faith for things to happen in our lives. Sometimes we need to stand up. Sometimes we may need to do what seems impossible to the others. But unfortunately, many times, instead of taking the step of faith, we wait for others to push us to take that step of faith. And many times we wait for eternity. God knows what you can do. And he's calling you to do what you can do. And he can do what you can't do. Huh? I tell my people in my church that one thing I've discovered about God, he's a very, very strong God. You know, he's a mighty God. Is that true? Amen. But you know another thing I've discovered about God? He is a very weak God. Now this is a new religion. God is strong, but God is weak as well. My brother Tino, in your life, have you ever had anybody giving a testimony that God brushed his teeth?
No. Hmm?
Have you ever had that?
No.
He can't do it. It means he can't do it. So God is very weak to lift a toothbrush. Why? Because he knows you can do it. God is not going to cook food for you, will he? Huh? So there are things you can do, and there are things you can't do. What you can do it. What you can't do, let him do it. Now you find so many people worried about the impossible when they haven't done anything about the possible. How is it going to work out? How is it going to happen? How am I going to manage? How is it going to be so? You can never do the impossible. It's only God who can do that. But you can do the possible. When you guys first came to Uganda, I didn't know how to drive. I think we borrowed somebody's car, which had a, you know, that's another big story. But after we left, I really had a desire, you know, for God to give me my car. So that when I have visitors, whatever, I was believing God for a van, a big, you know, like an 8-seater. And I believed God for some time. And I think I just felt like, you know, certain voice telling me that God is not in the business of causing people to break law. So which means I had to have a driver's license. Now Musisi didn't have the money to go for a driver's license. But those who have been to Uganda, they know this public transport systems, you know, these vans you have, like 10-seater. So I always took one when I had some little money. And I always made sure that I sit beside the driver to observe how he operates. So I could see him applying the gear and I could apply. I could see him braking and I could brake. I could see him turning this side and I could turn visually. So one guy applied the brakes suddenly, and I applied the brakes suddenly and hit him, and he said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" Faith in action. So after getting my theory, I said it's now time to go for my practicals. So there was a garage, you know, nearby. They had these broken cars, you know. One didn't even have doors, didn't have tires, but had a steering wheel and the pedals. I said, "Man, can you give me some time in this car?" A grown-up man? So, you didn't even have a seat. I had to get a stone to sit on. And you could find me turning, you know, brake, you know, internalizing, you know, the system, you know. This is the brake, this is the pedal, this is, you turn this, you apply the indicator. But the car wasn't going anywhere. One guy came and said, "Are you mad?" I said, "No, faith in action." So eventually I asked a friend of mine if he could allow me to have, you know, the actual feeling on the road. He thought I knew, I was confident last. And he thought I was an expert. So when he gave me the wheels, 1 second we were off the road. He said, "Moses, what is happening?" Faith in action. So anyway, finally, I managed to put together some funds. Had like 3-4 lessons, and I guess what, I passed my test. And after getting my driver license, I said, "God, I have done the possible. It's time you do for Musisi the impossible. I need a car." And I got a car. Amen. Am I talking anything here with anybody? Sometimes we may seem crazy, but faith in action. I told a girl in my church, she was praying for marriage. I said, "Sister, it's time we do some practice now. You need to start the wedding bells. After that, we need to visit the wedding, you know, where they say the wedding dresses. You know, you need to try them on. You know, get the feel, get the vision." And she's married today. Luke 1:36, I think, says, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." Now, English is my second language. But I'm going to understand that the word "with" means together. That's what I made. I think it's 36, 37. "For nothing is impossible with God." That word "with," what does it mean? Together? I used to think that this scripture means to God all things are possible, which is true, because he created the world, the earth, and everything without my input. But in this scripture here, it is a partnership with God. When you see the story, you know, the Mary, whatever, with God. What does that mean? Moses, see, I do the possible, and God does the impossible. I'm sick, I do the possible. When they call people for prayer, I walk to be prayed for, and then God does the impossible. As a preacher, I pray for the sick. God never called me to heal the sick. He called to pray for the sick. Whether you get healed or you don't get healed, I'm not going to stop praying for the sick. Amen? Whether you raise up or you don't raise up, I'm not going to stop praying for the dead to wake up. Just because you didn't wake up yesterday, another one might wake up. Amen? So, be obsessed with the impossible. Get obsessed with the possibles. Amen? We get so worked out. How is it going to happen? When we came to the slums, we had nothing. But I had a house in the slums. And I said, God, this is what I have. I give it to you. We are starting from here. Now we have got land in the slums. We are seeing lives changed in the slums. Instead of waiting for God to do the impossible, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. I'm sure this man at one point even ran. I'm convinced. He was able to run. Who knows? Your business may be able to run one day. Who knows? Your ministry will be able to run one day. But start with a step. Stand up. Do something. Amen? Am I confusing some people here? I hope I'm not confusing anybody. That's the message I give the kids in the slums. That's the message I give the kids at the school. You want to excel? Read your books. Do what you can. And then God will do what you can't. God is not a magician. Is you call magician? Magician? He's not. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Man doing the possible, and God doing the impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. I remember when Tino, you visited, I think you took me out for a meal one day before you left. I went to this place, I've never been to this place, and I struggle to go back there now. I'm waiting for you to come, then you take me out. It's beyond my, maybe I need to take a step of faith. Maybe I need to do what I can. But I remember asking for food with confidence. Not because I had money on me. No. But these people had their wallets, you know, and they were very thick. I don't know how many plastic cards and pounds. So wherever I saw this thing here, I had the confidence to ask for everything. So they said, Moses, you can ask for everything. I said, praise the Lord. I never had the money on me. But because I was with them, they cash, they credit cards, whatever, for that day, for that hour, became mine. When you're with God, His power become your power. His resources become His resources. So together, nothing shall be impossible. No one is here to help me. No one is here to drop me in the water. Failures, they are very good with excuses. They blame everybody apart from themselves. Amen. Stand up. Pick up your bed. And then walk. God knows what you can do in that equation. He knows what you are capable of doing in that prophecy He has given you. He knows what you are capable of doing in that word He has given you. Come on, do what you are supposed to do and let God do His part. He knows. He has said it, He knows. So look for the possible. That's what I do now. When God speaks, I look for the possible. And I leave the impossible to Him. And boy, He knows how to sort it out. He knows. Amen?
Amen.
Let me not confuse you anymore. Has God spoken? Has the message spoken to anybody here today? You can wait for that long when God already wished to heal you. Maybe the problem was not with God. Maybe the problem with this man. Don't be like this man. Do the possible and let Him do the impossible. Amen? God bless you. Why not? Can we stand up? I know God has been speaking to some of us here. So this is between you and your God. I want you to talk to your God. Some of us, we need to make a decision that I'm going to do what you've been telling me to do. The excuses are no more. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people who are here today, Lord. Like that paralytic who had been waiting for deliverance for 38 years, Lord. There could be some of us, Lord, have been waiting for salvation for a long time, Lord. Father, even now, no matter what the doctors have said, no matter what the situation is saying, no matter what the people around us are saying, Lord, we are putting our faith in you, Lord. Let your word be paramount in our lives, Lord. Yes, we thank God for the doctors. Yes, we thank God for our jobs. Yes, we thank God for our politicians, Lord.
But it's time now, Lord, to be between you and I, Lord. Father, it's my prayer that you meet your people at a place of need. There could be people here who need healing, Lord. Father, I pray that your healing power touches the body as they reach out in faith. Father, there could be people who need jobs, decisions. They have decisions to make. Father, meet them, Lord, Father, as they take those steps of faith, Lord, as they reach out their faith with you, Lord. Father, I pray your blessing upon your people. Your healing upon your people. Deliverance upon your people. Wisdom upon your people. Father, I thank you for Heartbeat Church, Lord, and its leadership. Pastor John, Karen, and the leadership in this church, Lord. Father, as they continue to lead your people, continue to give them wisdom, guidance, and understanding. Let your heartbeat be felt in this city. Let your heartbeat be felt in this congregation. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
So much. You can be seated. Wasn't that great? Amen. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we're so grateful, Steve, for you coming all this way. We thank your family as well for letting you go. And have a blessed journey back home. So we're not over yet. We can stay for tea and coffee, and there might be biscuits. Quick, before the kids get back. Bless you, and have a great week, everybody.